We're turning back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we're reading verses 10 to 19 this morning. There are a lot of voices in life. It's been a really rough year. Life seems to be extremely complicated. In a fallen world, life is complicated. There are a lot of things that make life difficult, that cause life to be confusing. And what we need is for the living God, the one who made us, to make things simple. And that's what he does in this passage. This is life simplified. There are really only two paths. No matter what you hear from other people, no matter what other people might have to say, God says there are two paths. And so we need to understand these two paths. Verses 10 to 19. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, you can see as we read that passage, there's this metaphor, it's continually being used in the book of Proverbs, the path, the way. There's only two paths. It's like they're marked out with road signs here in this passage. The path of the just or the righteous and the path of the wicked. The pathway that's the pathway of wisdom and the pathway for those who do not understand wisdom and cannot. Two paths. It's similar to Psalm 1. The way that our Psalter begins. See, wisdom is a path. It's a course of life. That means it's progressive. That means that it's not only the destination. Wisdom is the way that you live. It's described in the New Testament in terms of walking. Listen to what it says in Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See that? It's the pathway of walking with the Spirit. That's the pathway that you're being led on. That's the pathway of wisdom. That's the pathway that the Word of God is saying that you and I need to be on. And it's that simple. Life is really, ultimately, that simple because God breaks it down for us. He makes it clear. We are, first of all, to get on the wise and righteous path that leads to life. That's verses 10 to 13. Get on the wise path. Get on the righteous path because that's the pathway to life. And then verses 14 to 17 tell us to heed the warning signs against the foolish or wicked path. The pathway that leads to death. And then finally, at the end, there's this summary, and the two paths are contrasted with one another in verses 18 and 19. So that's our passage. Get on the righteous path, the wise and righteous path that leads to life. First of all, we're told in verse 1 to listen. We've been told this before in Proverbs. Listen. But look at the reason that you're being told to listen in verse 10. Listen to prolong your life. Pay attention so that you might have long life. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now we immediately think of eternal life. Many, many years, of course. Many years. There's also a sense in which following the book of Proverbs gives us longer life in many respects, physically. The people who are engaged on this path of wisdom have an ability to see things that happen in life and say no to temptations that otherwise destroy other people, that cause them to be confused, that cause them to fall away. You see, you're being told that you're to get on the pathway that leads to life, a pathway that causes your years to be many, because this is the wise course. It's the way of wisdom. Verse 11, the father speaking as though to a son, speaking to all of us, because we know that we're listening to our heavenly Father, who's the authority behind these words, says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. How do I know the right path? You've been taught it. The way of wisdom has been taught to you. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. It's a way of being instructed. It's kind of like being instructed in the catechism. This is the catechism of the Holy Spirit. We were just singing from Psalm 25. Psalm 25 actually looks at this teaching from two sides. Psalm 25 verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. But then verse 12 says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he shall choose. So from the perspective of the Lord teaching sinners, and from the perspective of the one that fears the Lord being taught, that's Psalm 25, the way of wisdom. It's being carved out for you. Psalm 32 and verse 8 says it this way, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. What a personal guidance. What a personal guidance in the way of wisdom. We're being told that we're taught directly from the Lord, the one who's good and upright. And not only those who are already considered righteous, it says he will teach sinners in the way. He's teaching wisdom. He's generous with it. That's what the book of James tells us. He's generous with wisdom. Wisdom is for us in order to be guided. It's the way of wisdom, but it's also the right way. It's the way that is ethical, we could say. Verse 11 goes on. I have led thee in right path. I've led thee in right paths. And the word for paths there is a word that you use for tracks. Well-worn tracks. An ancient, improved way. And I take my dog for a walk through the woods, and he likes to sniff around, and he likes to try to find deer. And he likes to go off the path. But when I tell him that we're not going to go in that direction, after some coaxing sometimes, he'll get on the path. And he sees it quite clearly. He's a dog. But he sees the path. It's well worn. It's pretty obvious, the pathway that I want him to go on. And you see, we need to be like that. Because there is a well worn path. There's a path that is ancient and proved. And it's carved out for us. And it's revealed to us in God's Word. So verse 12 then shifts to the activity of the son. First of all, we were hearing the teaching of the father, the teaching of the way of wisdom, the leading. And then it looks forward and says, when thou goest, when you begin to take this path, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You see, there are obstacles on certain paths. There are obstacles that eventually lead to God's judgment. There have been times when I've been walking the dog, and I've had trouble with my ankle, and there's been ice on the path. My dog has four legs. That's no problem. No problem with rocks, no problem with ice. He just seems to go, 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 go. But there have been times when I have to slow him down. Because if I fall in on one of these paths, I don't know that he's necessarily going to call for help. I have a phone. I don't even know if he's going to stick around. I do have a leash. But you see, there are obstacles like that on the pathway of the wicked. The pathway of the righteous is not like that. It's a carved out path. In other words, there's an uncomplicated life, free of the complications that the wicked experience, that you are being told you can have. You're actually being told that you can follow a path that doesn't cause you to stumble. It's very pleasant for people who are runners to be able to run without stumbling. And that's the pathway that the Word of God is saying. There is a metaphor here. Obviously, it's talking about stumbling. It's talking about becoming weak or fatigued and falling down or being brought to ruin. But the reason that you're not going to stumble needs to be understood. The reason that you're not going to stumble is because you have been listening. It said at the beginning of verse 10, "Hear, O my son." We have been taught the way of wisdom. We have been led in the right paths. If we're listening, there is a way to follow the path without stumbling. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, the Word of God shines on our path. And so we're being told that this is life simplified. This is the pathway that we're to follow. And not only are we told that we're to follow this well-worn path and we're to continue, but we're to keep holding on to it. Verse 13, "Take hold, fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." You're being told that wisdom is like a partner for you. Hold on to her like your best friend in all the world. Hold on. Wisdom is such a friend. Wisdom. Keep hold. Three commands in verse 13. Take fast hold. Let her not go. Keep her. Grab hold and never let go. To keep hold, it's a way of speaking about discipline. Now, Donovan has been lifting weights, and he's learned quite a bit about lifting weights. He knows more than his mom and dad, even though his mom knows a lot. But see, it's more than just lifting something. There's also the discipline of your diet. There's a discipline of knowing how much to train on any particular day. And see, all of this is part of the training that God is giving us. He's telling us to follow the discipline. He's telling us to follow the pattern of discipline, to hold on to wisdom. Take fast hold. Let her not go. Keep her. Stay disciplined and in training because she is thy life. This is life. God actually breaks it down and says, this is life. To be disciplined in order to follow wisdom, in order to follow the path that's worn because it's an ancient path that has been carved out for you. It is the way to go without stumbling. It is the pathway to follow. And this is your life. By the time you get to the New Testament, you know that Jesus is wisdom with a capital W. You know that you will be guided in the way of wisdom if you're joined to Jesus Christ. And this is not just simply the pathway from cradle to the grave. No, this is actually the road to eternal life. We're being told about the road to eternal life versus the road to eternal death. That's how much God breaks it down. This is a pathway to eternal life or eternal death. The pathway of the righteous, the pathway of those who are guided by Jesus Christ, wisdom with a capital W, is the pathway of eternal life. Jesus says it this way in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He makes it so clear. He breaks it down. He says, I am the way. You don't even have to look around and say, where's the path? What was that path that I couldn't stumble on? I seem to be stumbling. Jesus says, I'm the way. Every time we feel ourselves going off the path, we need to listen to those words. There's the way. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know the truth? Jesus teaches you the truth. You want to have life? Jesus is the life giver. And Jesus is the way. It's that simple. So why would someone follow the foolish or wicked path if it's that simple? Well, it's because, you see, the book of Proverbs makes it clear at this point that there are certain motives involved in people's hearts. There are certain things that happen on the inside of us that cause us to choose in a different direction. So we're told to heed the warning signs against the foolish or wicked men, which leads to death. That's verses 14 to 17. Look at what is said here. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way in the way of evil men. It sounds exactly like Psalm 1, doesn't it? But then it's emphasized in so many different ways in verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. That means don't take this as your path. Turn from it and pass away. Get off of that path. Get off of that path. Jesus is the way. Get off of that path. Why? Now we begin to see some of the reasons why, as verse 16 unfolds for us, what it's like to be someone who's on this path, someone who's following the way, as it says in verse 14, of evil men. Chilling words in verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Did you know that wicked people actually have trouble sleeping? Because they haven't had enough wickedness. That's weird. That's hard to understand. Chapter 3 and verse 24 says, regarding you, if you follow the way of wisdom, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You see, what's being said is that to be a wicked person, to be on this path, means that it's begun to seep into your desires. It's begun to seep into your heart and mind. This is the way to satisfaction. I'm unsatisfied if I haven't been able to engage in the activities that I truly love. And so that's why people cannot sleep when they are wicked. It's against the way that God has carved out for the righteous in chapter 3 and verse 24. Notice what it says. They sleep not except they have done mischief. If I didn't do something that really matched my deep heart desires in that given day, I have trouble sleeping. I got to plan for the next day. Micah 2 verse 1 puts it this way. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil on their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. In other words, if I can get away with it, I'm thinking about that at night. I'm thinking about that. And you know, I worked at the Whosoever Gospel Mission. It was interesting. There's this group of beds in a room. They're very close to one another. And you have very different people sleeping in those beds. Some at night are figuring out how they can get away with something. And others are simply trying to turn around and put their life on the right path. It's not so simple for them because they haven't been taught. They don't know the well-worn path. They've been raised to take the wicked way. Now they're trying to change. And the Holy Spirit's helping them. But if you have heard the way of wisdom, if you know the path, then the challenge for you is to examine if your heart works this way, devising evil deeds, sleep taken away unless they cause someone to fall. And we might think, okay, you know, that's just a metaphor. But by the time we get to verse 17, it's actually broken down more completely. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. We're about to take the supper. This is spiritual food for you and for me. This is the life of Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's being offered to you in the supper. He's being fed to you by the Holy Spirit. You are going to receive wisdom. You are going to receive knowledge of God's loving kindness. You are going to receive deep down into your heart that which truly satisfies people who are changed. But people who are not satisfied, they have a different type of supper. It's the evil supper. Verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. This is the way they live. Wickedness is their regular diet. Job 15, verse 16, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? Do you realize that? We think of eating and drinking. Sun comes up, I had breakfast this morning. But spiritually speaking, the world operates differently. There are those who drink in violence. They eat the bread of wickedness. What they consume becomes a part of them. And along comes Jesus. And in John 4, he says to his disciples, who are offering him something to eat, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus, you haven't had anything to eat in a long time. We're getting hungry. How about you? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus is saying he actually feeds on the will of the Father. There's a spiritual reality here that's being unfolded for us in very concrete terms about eating and drinking. But we need to understand Jesus feeds on the will of the Father. And that's why he could be offered to you in the supper. And you are receiving spiritually wisdom. The pathway that keeps you from having desires that keep you up at night. The desires that will lead you to destruction. Jesus, he's the way. This is the true meal. The meal that makes us wiser and righteous as opposed to the meal of those who are on the wrong path. And then in verses 18 and 19, we have the conclusion that just contrasts the two paths and makes it clear through the image of light. Now, we saw light in John 1 when we looked at that passage just before in our worship service. The true light, Jesus Christ, came into the world, shining in the darkness. We saw it last week in Matthew 4 in the evening. A light springing up in a land characterized by darkness. But now the Word of God says something beautiful to you. If you consume the pathway of wisdom, if you follow this path, if you take in Christ through the supper, by the work of the Spirit, you actually are on a path that is compared to the brightest shining part of the day. And it's a progressive shining. It's not just as though one day Jesus is shown to you and you say, I see the light. It actually gets brighter for you. You are being compared to the beginning of the day. In contrast to the dawn, you are like the brightest moment of the day. That's you. That's you on your path. That's the path to follow. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The brightest part of the day. The righteous are like the light of a morning that keeps increasing, not like the afternoon light that begins to fade. This is because you are joined to Jesus Christ. You see, he's not only life. He's not only the one who feeds on the will of his Father. He's not only the pathway to wisdom. He's not only the obedient Son. Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the one who shows you the path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, but only because Jesus Christ shows you the way. This is why we need Jesus. To show us the way forward. We need him for each step of the way. If you follow the other path, it's described as darkness. And the word for darkness is the same word that's used for the darkness in Egypt during the plague. The darkness of the blind who grope at noon and cannot find their way in Deuteronomy 28. You see, there's a horrible thing that happens when someone walks away from Jesus Christ. When they reject Jesus Christ. They actually get to a point where the connection that God makes between evil deeds and evil consequences is completely unknown to them. They don't see it anymore. They cannot tell that if they steal and steal and steal and steal, something really bad is going to happen. If they kill, if they lie, if they gossip again and again and again, willingly, purposely, joyfully, gossiping. And all of these things lead them as if they're in darkness. You know, you get up in the morning, you're trying not to wake your family. Everything's dark, you're trying to get dressed. Look, I just ran my knee into a bedpost. I could have seen that bedpost if the lights were on. See it? That's what life is like for the wicked. They can't see. They're stumbling, and they don't even know why. They don't know about what they stumble. They don't realize that there's a connection between evil acts and evil consequences. They don't realize that there's a connection between eating the bread of wickedness and drinking the wine of violence and God's judgment. And part of God's judgment, this is Romans 1, taking away the sense of the connection. It's another reason for us to follow the path of wisdom, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the one who makes the connection for us to lead us. Tonight we're going to hear about repentance and the importance of that. And the title of the sermon tonight, The Portal to Eternity. There is a way that leads to eternity. But people don't want to get into that way. And after a while, if you don't follow Jesus Christ, you can't even see it. Completely in the dark. Stumbling around. You see, the Bible makes it so clear. There are two groups of people in the world. Those who are walking around in the light. And those who are stumbling around in the dark. And the pathway that's lit for you is a pathway to follow.